We are happy to be spending a few moments with Jonathan Biss, speaking to us from his home in Philadelphia as we are in the holiday break. He is getting set to make a new start into concertizing in 2020, including two performances that will be coming up at the Wharton Center in East Lansing. And these performances will be on Wednesday the 8th and Friday the 10th of January at the Wharton Center, whartoncenter.com for all of the information. Jonathan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. Happy holidays and Happy New Year.
Happy holidays and, yeah, Happy New Year. Hopefully it'll be a good one for all of us.
Beethoven, it is the subject of not only these two performances, but as I read up on your background and really encompassing so much of your pursuit and your career, a great passion for the master's work heading into this year that will observe the 250th anniversary of the birth of Beethoven. How early on did you become, as some of the notes indicate, immersed and so passionate about his music?
Pretty early. I've been working on his music probably since I was around 10 years old. I think that's when I first learned one of his sonatas. And I don't know that there's been a period since when I was not working on his music. But I would say in terms of the immersion or the passion, the time I was a teenager, I vividly remember sort of hearing the Appassionata Sonata for the first time. It was a recording of Rudolf Serkin that I listened to pretty much daily until the cassette tape, because that's how long ago this was, didn't play anymore. And, you know, I was probably like 11 or 12 at the time. And there is a visceral impact to that piece in particular, but really Beethoven's music in general, that it kind of grabbed me by the collar. And I feel like we're a few decades later, it has yet to let go.
In fact, in reading in the biography, it does says here, quote, "The sonatas have been a constant presence in my life nearly as long as I have been playing the piano. Presence, too mild a word, force comes a bit closer to conveying the space that he occupies in my heart and head." Why do you think? What is it about Beethoven that you would say goes all the way to that visceral reaction as you describe it, or the force that he holds on you?
I think that what distinguishes Beethoven from other composers who are arguably as great and who I maybe even love as much, you know, I'm thinking of Mozart would be one example. There are two things. I think, first of all, the variety of expression, the variety of language, the variety of form is really unparalleled. I can't think of any artist, not just composer, but like artist in any medium who attempted and thrived in as wide a range of idioms, really. I mean, these 32 sonatas are, it's funny to call them a body of music because they're in many ways so unlike one another. But I think on top of that, the reason that his music is so irresistible is just that his personality is so forceful. His personality is so strong and so insistent, I would say. You feel in his music this absolute need to express himself through music. You know, he said so himself in his letters. You know, it was what kept him alive. You know, it was otherwise not a happy life. And, you know, one with all personal turmoil and you know, obviously the tragedy of early onset deafness. You know, it was a terrible fate, but he needed to be heard. And I think that need to be heard is imprinted on really every note of every phrase of every movement of every one of these sonatas.
For those that don't delve real deeply into the history or chronology of his works, do they represent as some things an early, middle, and later period, and how, as you set about recording all 32 of the sonatas, and as you have set about in all of these recent past and upcoming concert performances to approach the works, how are you approaching what works fit best with others in terms of presenting the body and the emotion of the work?
Yeah, people do often talk about Beethoven's music in terms of the three periods, and there is something to it. I mean, you have these early works which tend to be somewhat more virtuosic and more kind of public, I would say, in terms of there's a certain desire to maybe impress in them and to be pleasing and to be appreciated, you know, whereas then the middle period works become monumental, very, very challenging, and very kind of almost self-consciously grand, I would say. And then the late works are incredibly spiritually minded. But I feel like I'm generalizing here. Again, the thing about Beethoven is that he kind of reinvents the wheel with every single sonata. So I find that it's a little reductive to look at that way. But I mean, anyway, to answer the other part of your question, when I started to plan the recordings, and whenever I plan a recital program, my goal is really to sort of to emphasize that variety as much as possible. So I think if there are going to be four or five sonatas on a program, I think, how can I put, you know, ones back to back that are going to emphasize how often and how dramatically he toggled between characters, you know? So, you know, in the course of a given program, there will be works that are very, very lyrical, and then you know, on the other end, high drama, and alongside that, humor. Humor is another, I think, very critical aspect of his music. And I sort of want to make sure that if someone comes to just one evening of these pieces, they leave with a clear sense of just the incredible breadth of his personality.
Two performances of Beethoven sonatas, and both do encompass that variety in style and the journey through Beethoven's musical development on Wednesday, January 8th, Friday, January 10th at the Cobb Great Hall, Wharton Center on the campus of Michigan State University in East Lansing. Pianist Jonathan Biss coming to perform the works by Beethoven. The most recent recording then that completed the cycle of recording all of these sonatas, some would say then, when you wanted to time it to coming up to this time when now we are into the full cycle of looking ahead to December 2020 and Beethoven's 250th birthday. Was it a planned effort to reach them here, or was any thought given to starting that cycle now and having it culminate on the actual 250th? How did you time the aspect of putting these all to record?
So, I mean, sort of. I would say it was more a personal decision that I came to a point. I knew, you know, from a very early age that I wanted to record and play all these pieces. And I wouldn't say it's the kind of thing you ever feel ready for, but, you know, 9 years ago, I somehow decided it was time. I had learned the majority of them, and I had been living really intensely with them for a while, and I wanted to get started. And I also knew from the beginning that I didn't want to feel rushed in the process, that I wanted to, you know, to go back to that word, to feel that I could immerse myself in, you know, each set of pieces as I prepared to record them. And so, you know, I've made these recordings at the pace of one a year over, you know, nearly a decade, and it kind of just worked out that way, that I came to the culmination point of, you know, the point where the whole world is giving Beethoven a birthday party. So it was actually more fortuitous than anything else. It was really about kind of just, I thought this is probably the right time for me.
It is a celebration of Beethoven, not only on record, but also in concert, given the birthday anniversary and obviously the passion for his music, very reflective in everything that you've shared with us, Jonathan. I would be remiss, though, if I did not ask if he is perhaps the ultimate highest degree of focus and passion in your music. What other artists early on, or what other composers have helped shape the voice that you have developed to this point? Who are the others outside of? And it's certainly, if one was going to pick one, Beethoven's certainly a very good one to put at the top of that list. But who are the other voices that speak most directly to you?
I think that the personalities that have been most important in my life, aside from Beethoven, it would have to be Mozart, Schubert, Schumann. All four in very different ways. I think that's one of the real privileges of playing music, is that, you know, those composers are not just so great, but they represent a wide range of human experience and ways of expressing it. It's really been such a gift to my life. And then beyond that, it's been a very important thing to me to play new music. And I've played a lot of it. I've commissioned, I think, by now 9 or 10 different pieces. And that process has taught me a huge amount because, you know, I'm not a composer myself, and I think I understand relatively very little about the creative process. I understand a little bit more from having done that. But at the end of the day, you know, the music of, again, Mozart, Schubert, Schumann, and but right now I would have to say Beethoven above all is nourishing to me like few other things could be.
Do you find, or as you enter into a relationship with a composer for a commission of a new work, and obviously your affinity and attraction to these composers is well known, do you hear in what is being commissioned and written for you particular elements or thematic developments that would very much kind of echo back to those masters of which you are such a champion, or do you think that the composers, maybe to turn that question around to say that because of that they write for you in a way that tries to come up with something quite distant or quite different from a Beethoven or a Mozart or a Schubert?
Yeah, I mean, I think different composers have different processes. And occasionally when I, you know, play a work that was written for me, I sense that the composer had sort of maybe my strengths or my interests in mind. But to be really honest, I don't actually want that. I think what I want above all is for the composer to feel as uninhibited as possible in writing the piece. I mean, if I've asked him or her to write it, it's a statement of my belief in, you know, what it is that they have to offer. And I don't sort of want that to be too compromised or reined in any way by, you know, their sense of what I want. So I kind of try to stay away from their work process as much as possible. I think that's maybe the best formula for getting the most interesting and the most satisfying piece.
There are two concerts that will feature sonatas by Beethoven on Wednesday the 8th and Friday the 10th at the Cobb Great Hall, Wharton Center in East Lansing, January 8th and January 10th. The music of Beethoven to be performed by Jonathan Biss. And as we let you get back to the celebration of the holiday season and then the preparation for travel, Jonathan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. Happy New Year and safe travels into the new year, as that concert schedule will bring you very early on in the new year to East Lansing for these Beethoven concerts. We very much appreciate the chance to talk with you today.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you as well.